Good morning, everyone. Hope you've had a good week, and I hope you've had some time to do a little reading about John the Baptist. And you find out that this guy is a little bit of an unusual character. Matter of fact, you can almost call him a mystery man. And so to start our study today, we're going to go back to John chapter 1, and we're just going to read what John wrote about John the Baptist. This is going to appear to be a little bit of a historical review of John the Baptist, which it is. But that's not all it is. There are some significant life stories that we can learn from his story that we need to apply in our very own lives. So let's jump into our text, but first let's pray. Father, thank you for the day. Father, we ask that you'll use this for your glory. Help us to use this to exalt the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's read John chapter 1, verses 6 through 8. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. Let me stop. That's significant. A man sent from God. Verse 7, he came as a witness to testify about the light, so that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but he came to testify about the light. Now let's go over to verse number 15, and the Apostle John quotes John the Baptist in a parenthetical way. Speaking of Jesus, John writes, John testified concerning him and exclaimed, "This was the one of whom I said, the one coming after me ranks ahead of me, because he existed before me." So some interesting things are beginning to jump out about John the Baptist. Again, he was virtually, or literally, sent from God. So this makes him pretty important. That's why we're reading about him. But here's a lesson. John's focus, John the Baptist, his focus was not on himself. He was a man greatly used of God. He was sent from God. But his focus was singular. And that focus was Jesus. Verse 19 through 28. This was John's testimony when the Jews from Jerusalem sent priests and Levites to ask him, "Who are you?" Well, he didn't deny it, but confessed, "I am not the Messiah." They continue, "What then?" they ask. "Are you Elijah?" "I am not," he said. "Are you the prophet?" "No." Verse 22, "Well, who are you then?" We need to give an answer to those who sent us. "What can you tell us about yourself?" Verse 23, and he said, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, just as Isaiah the prophet said." Verse 24, now they had been sent from the Pharisees, and they continue asking. So they ask him, "Why then do you baptize if you aren't Messiah or Elijah or the prophet?" John says, "I baptize with water. Someone stands among you, but you don't know him." Notice, it's away from what he's doing, back to someone special. "You don't know him. He is the one coming after me, whose sandal strap I'm not worthy to untie." All this happened in Bethany across the Jordan, where John was baptizing. Notice his focus. Don't miss it. It's Jesus. Makes you wonder, is that our focus? Well, as you can see, John is a little bit unusual. Remember, we spoke last week about his wardrobe. He wore camel hair clothes. And his diet, well, he was a bit of a health food junkie because he ate locusts and wild honey. But that's not all that was unusual. He was unusual in his birth. And if you went back to the book of Luke, we'll not go there. Let's just review. John's mother, Elizabeth, and his father, Zechariah, were getting old, and they didn't have any children, and there really was no hope for them having children. And Zechariah was a priest, and one day when he was in doing his priestly duties, an angel showed up with a message. Now, this isn't any angel. This is Gabriel, one of the big guys. It's known as the archangels. Yeah, this is Gabriel. Had a message. Zechariah was scared. I know I would be. Anyway, he gave him a message that he was going to have a son. And you can imagine what Zechariah was thinking. What? At this age, we're going to have a child? Listen to Gabriel's explanation of this child. Your son will be a delight for you and your wife. He will be great in the sight of the Lord. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit from the womb. Now, that's unusual. He continues, he'll turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and of the disobedient to the righteous. His purpose, now get this, will be to get the people prepared for the coming of Messiah. Remember, this is all about Jesus. It's a story about John the Baptist, but it's all about Jesus. Well, Zechariah had a hard time with this. So he wanted a sign, as any good Jew would do. And so the angel said, you'll not speak. You'll be silent until the child is born. Why did the angel do that? Well, here's a lesson to be learned. We need to believe God even when what he says is almost unbelievable. Keep that in mind. Because Zechariah didn't believe, he couldn't speak. Then when John was born and he was 8 days old and he went in to be circumcised, there were a bit of a debate about what he was going to be named. His mom said John, and then his father spoke, said it's going to be John. And guess what his father was doing? He was praising God rather than doubting God. You see, God will come through with what he promises, even if it's hard to believe what he has promised, folks. Don't lose that life lesson right there. God works in the supernatural. He works in ways we do not know and understand, and he will stay in that realm. So let's quit trying to put him in human terms. Let's allow him to be in his own terms. He's going to do that anyway. So there's our lesson. So you can already begin to see why the Apostle John said of John the Baptist that he was a man sent from God. One more thing about John the Baptist's early days. After he grew up, he went off into the wilderness, and we don't hear much about him there. But Luke records that one day the word of the Lord came to John, and it was time for him to go out and to start his ministry. And his ministry was summed up in the following verses. Luke chapter 3, verses 3 through 4. He went into all the vicinity of the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, as it is written in the book of the words of the prophet Isaiah said, now watch this, a voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make his paths straight. That's a proclamation of Messiah's return. You see, that was John's purpose, is to tell the people of his day that Messiah was soon to arrive. Have you heard any of that recently? Here's something else about John. He had one purpose and he stuck to that purpose. Let's again read verses 6 through 8. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify about the light so that all might believe through him. Not John, but the light. He was not the light, but he came to testify about the light. So John's responsibility, his focus, was to be a witness of the light. And just to remind you of who the light is, verses 4 and 5, in him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and yet the darkness did not overcome it. Well, who is that? Obviously, Jesus. And there was something else about John I want to look at. Throughout his life and ministry, he was not afraid to make Jesus number one in his life. Look at verse 20. He didn't deny it, but confessed, I am not the Messiah. He didn't want to take the attention to himself. He said, I must decrease and he must increase. He said, I am not the Messiah. When John was pushed further, he responded, verse 26 and 27, I baptize with water, John answered him. Now listen to his description of Jesus. Someone stands among you, but you don't know him. He is the one coming after me, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to untie. His focus was on Jesus. Now here's our take home. John the Baptist, his focus was on Jesus. Are we, you and I, willing to give Jesus first place in our lives? Now, there's a lot of things that can distract us in the Christian walk. But Jesus should be our focus, must be our focus. The Apostle Paul wrote that Christ should have the preeminence in the church. So is Jesus preeminent? Is he number one? Is he our main focus in the church? He must be, because it is only through him that people are saved. He must be our focus. There's a lot about John that we haven't covered, but there's just one other thing that I want to look at. Although John was greatly used to proclaim the Messiah's coming, he was still a human being, and there was a time he had his own doubts. Well, let me explain about John's doubts. John was one of those hard preachers, and he really preached hard on the immorality, particularly in the political families. And he got thrown in prison because of his preaching. I've never been in prison before, but if you're there for a long time, I'm sure it gets really hard. It's not like today's prisons. I'm sure it was hard for John. And one day he sent his disciples to Jesus and said, are you the one who's supposed to be coming? John was struggling. I mean, after all, if this was Jesus, surely Jesus would come and he would set him free. But Jesus didn't do that. He didn't do that. Matter of fact, John ended up losing his head. That doesn't float in a lot of today's Christian circles. But it's a biblical thing. God is a sovereign God. He will fulfill his purposes. And sometimes his purposes do not line up with our purposes. Let's look at what John's disciples asked Jesus. Luke chapter 7, verses 22 and 23. He replied, go and report to John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, those with leprosy are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised, and the poor are told the good news. And blessed is the one who isn't offended by me. In other words, John, I am the real one. My works prove that. Oh, and don't let what I do or don't do offend you. You see, so often we really don't get what we want from the Lord. And many people get mad and walk away from the Lord. We have heard that over and over and over again from particularly Christian leaders today. Things don't work out according to how they design, and they throw up their hands and walk away and lose their faith. Well, let's make sure we're not one of those. Remember, God is a sovereign God. He has His plan and His desire. We have to follow that. Now, one more thing I want to leave with you. John the Baptist was preparing the way of the Messiah. Now, Isaiah had predicted that 420 years before, and it happened just like Isaiah had predicted. Now, let's bring that in, Now, let's bring that into our day. We're standing at the threshold of the second coming of the Lord. I believe we really are. You see, predictions from the Bible are coming true almost daily. And if you follow that, you can see that there are so many today, you could make a whole ministry around that today. So the Lord's return, the second coming, will take place just like Jesus said. He said He would return again. So if He said it, He'll follow through. He'll do that. And you see, in John's day, a lot of people responded to His ministry and got ready for the coming of the Messiah. But a lot of people didn't respond positively to His ministry. I guess that's one of the reasons He ended up in jail. My question for you today, and this is our big question for today. Many responded to John's ministry and prepared for the Lord's coming. Will you respond positively to the Lord's message and prepare for His second coming? It's coming, just like He said. Are you ready? Are you ready for the Lord's return? Let me just say this. If you will invite Jesus to be your Lord and your Savior, if you will say, Lord, I agree with You. I've messed up. I need a Savior. I need You as my Lord. And then call on Him to be your Lord and your Savior. Then you'll be ready for His second coming. Are you ready? Father, thank You for John the Baptist. Thank You for his focus. Thank You for his humanity. Father, I pray that we'll follow his message. He was preparing people for the Lord's first coming. Lord, You're coming again. Help us to right now prepare for Your second coming. In Jesus' name, amen.